The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, everyone. Thanks and welcome back to the show. I am so excited and honored to have Maurice Philogene from Quattro Capital with us today. Maurice, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm good. It's a fantastic Wednesday in Washington, D.C., and I appreciate spending some time with you.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming on. I know you're incredibly busy. We were chatting a little bit before we hit record. I know you've been up super early. We both got our coffee getting us going this morning. Yeah. So, Maurice, if you don't mind, I know we got some maybe new folks listening. For those that maybe don't know who you are, would you mind giving us a little bit of background where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days?
Well, again, thank you for having me on. I appreciate your platform. Anytime I can put any tidbit of information or knowledge in it can potentially help people, I'm happy about that. So I appreciate it. Born in New York, raised in Boston, live in Washington, D.C. by way of University of Virginia since 1997. I'm still here. My background now is that I'm an international real estate developer, spending time in the Mediterranean, buying land and developing apartments and townhomes over there. I am doing apartment syndication. As you know, I founded Quattro Capital with four other partners, and we've been buying add value multifamily across the U.S. for the past few years. But I'm also still in my day job, and I think that's important to say because there are other people out there who are in the working world and trying to figure out what's next for them. But I've been at Accenture, which is a global consulting firm, since 1997. I'm a senior executive there, so I'm on my 24th year. I was always, and I got hired by them right out of University of Virginia. I was always in the military as well. I just retired as Lieutenant Colonel and federal agent in late 2019. That is still very hard to say. I loved it that much. That career led me to being a local street cop in DC as a way to give back to community. I am still a street cop in DC, although I'm retiring in the next few weeks. So that's finally come about. And then, of course, I'm a dad of two boys and just very, very passionate about life. So that's kind of my background.
Yeah, that's great. And for those that maybe haven't met Maurice or found his socials yet, definitely check it out. He has a lot of great stuff on there and love the background. I can't go any further without saying, hey, thank you for your service as well. We very much appreciate it. Maurice, I know you got a super compelling background, maybe even a little bit different than what we've heard with some of our other guests, being that you still have your, as you called it, like your day job, your normal job. But I would imagine, you know, we brought you on. We want to talk about maybe some of the pains or struggles you've had along the way, because as successful as you are, I would imagine it hasn't always been easy for you guys. So would want to expand a little bit on some of those pains or challenges that you've faced.
Sure. And to be clear, so I know we are kind of a real estate oriented platform at the moment, but real estate is a very small sliver of my life. I hate being defined by it. Hate's a strong word, but I don't allow myself to be defined by it. The reason I got into real estate in the first place was because in 2003, and I will get to the challenge, but in 2003, I bought my first place to live, realized I could fix my financial situation, started studying financial education, learned about passive income, went to the library. There's no Google back then, or it was just kicking in. And I ended up buying 10 condos in my first year as a 23-year-old. And I kind of figured out this thing that if I just keep buying them and keep paying them off systematically, I was going to have freedom, financial freedom, if you will. And that did happen in 2014. So from 2002 to 2014, I was a single family investor doing that. The challenge that I had looking back on it now was I did it all on my own. That was a very, I'm not going to call it a mistake, but I will tell you that I was probably entrepreneurially depressed, if you will, because I got up to 35 single family homes that I was self-managing as far north, south as 300 miles while still being a full-time executive. And in 2008, adding the police to that. So when everyone was going out on the weekends, I was doing termites, toilets, and tenants. So there was a bit of like, I lost my 20s and 30s, but that's okay because it led to many more opportunities in the future.
Yeah. And to your point, I mean, as you said it now, you had the financial freedom. So while others were having fun and doing whatever, myself included, I'll jump in that boat. You know, yeah. you were out there grinding, and now you're at the point now that you do have that financial freedom. So as much as it probably pained you at the time, now looking back, you're a lot better off.
Yeah, I wouldn't change any of it. The what I would have added on was just finding my partner sooner. So with Quattro, we buy value add property. As I mentioned earlier, in the past 18 months, we've closed on 11 complexes. We're closing on our 12th today, actually. But there is something, I appreciate that. There is something that I learned later, which is a pain point. I have a philosophy now, and it's echoed within Quattro's four principles, hence the word Quattro. People come first. You got to pick the right properties. You got to generate the profits. And when you generate those profits, you give it back to investors and do philanthropic things with it. I believe that. I live it. There was a property that I got involved with late, pre-Quattro, but late in the game. The business plan was already set, and I was brought in as a sponsor. And the average rent at that building was $1,100. We raised the rent 40% to roughly just below $1,600. So effectively the top of the market. Now you would think that that's a great thing from a real estate investor perspective, but it was horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible because what that caused was consternation and stress to the residents that I had living in that building. The rent increase was justifiable for the area, especially being in DC. And it's not right at the top of the market. It's kind of just below, so you can justify it. But the stress that I caused those residents by raising the rent that quickly, and it was a little bit out of my hands because the business plan was set before I got involved. I will never do that again. I will never be a part of a team or anyone's endeavor where they're trying to squeeze out every single dollar, every single penny at the expense of good people who are just working hard, trying to live a normal life. Secondarily, when you're trying to sell that, you are now selling an asset whereby another investor looks at it and sees that they can't do anything to improve it. They can't raise the rent. They can't improve the building. There's nothing there. So you can be greedy on the front end. It affects people's lives. It's going to affect your ability to move that asset in the future. That one asset has taught me that what I will never do for the rest of my assets ever, 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 ever. I'd rather make less and go to sleep knowing that I'm genuinely taking care of people who live at those communities than make the most money that I could possibly make. So that was definitely a challenge that I ran into.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us in the community are often sometimes faced with that. We see what we can make and what we can charge based on what we're seeing other properties do. We don't want to lose sight of there are individuals, there are people living here trying to make, you know, a living and pay their rent. Looking back, I would be interested because I would imagine we have some folks listening that are maybe first time in syndication or looking to get into syndication, and they're reading all the books, they're listening to all the podcasts, and they say, hey, when you get in, you value add. The whole point is raise the rent so you can charge more, so you can make more. How do you, looking back, how would you balance raising that rent to meet what would be a standard in the rest of the community while also balancing protecting the people that are living there without, you know, pushing them out so quickly?
Yeah. So now when I do it now with my Quattro partners, again, this was a non-Quattro deal. When we run pro forma at the beginning, the pro forma is based off of what we'll call organic rent growth proportional to the add value work that we're going to do inside and outside of the property. It should be organic and it should be slow and steady. Slow and steady wins the race. If you improve a property as an operator, you deserve the increase. You deserve it because you're putting in the work. That work is directly contributing to a greater quality of living for those residents. Well, what do you mean? Well, if they've got a crappy pre-1970s finish in there, that's not a way to live nowadays. People would like decent countertops, nice appliances, central air conditioning, maybe like a dog park or a grill area, things of that nature. They are willing, residents are generally willing to pay $50, an extra $100 to get that quality of living. And we can forecast that out. And also look at what those residents make on an annual basis, because we can see their applications, right? And make sure that they can actually afford it and that it's consistent for that particular market. Now, you do that, and then you mesh that into the returns that you're going to give to your investors. If it meets the returns that you're going to give to your investors, there's no reason to twist the screws on your residents, because everybody is already winning. You see what I mean? And then, you know, the secondary small part cherry on top thing is that the next investor can come in and do more work. And hopefully you're studying the markets well enough that you know that employment is continuing to grow in that area. So people's paychecks are rising. They can afford a bit more. And then the cycle can continue, but on a natural level. What I did in that previous example was it was totally unnatural. Yes, it's $1,600 for that area here in DC, totally affordable, 100% affordable. But when you raise rent 20 to 40% on someone in less than a year, it totally changes the dynamic of their lives. Real estate is a people business first, people business. You keep your residents happy and the money will keep flowing. Yeah, I just, you know, something I regret, but it has made me a better operator and person overall.
Well, and it sounds like it's one of the founding principles of Quattro Capital. And looking at what you were able to take away from that helped you formulate where you're at today, which is the whole point of having folks like yourself on is, hey, give us examples of these things that you run into so that we, the audience, myself, anybody, as we listen, we don't make the same mistakes. Or as we're looking at this, we evaluate it maybe a little bit differently. So I think that's incredibly compelling. We don't need to lose sight of something like that. These folks are just trying to make a living and have a place to live.
Sure.
You are rightfully, you should have the ability to raise the rent if you're increasing the value, fixing up the things that folks would likely want fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, you don't have, if it pencils out, you don't have to do it right away. And especially in the market we're in now, I would imagine if you're doing that over a couple of years, then you do have an opportunity to maybe even sell that, because some other operator looks at it and goes, hey, I can now take this off your hands. You're only about 25, 30, 50% through. I could take it the rest of the way and you could sell it in a shorter hold than maybe you originally planned to as well.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, to your point, I have another property in Atlanta. This is a Quattro property. It's in the inner city in West End Atlanta. When I bought it, I purposefully bought it because the quality of life in that complex was horrible. We've improved it. We reserved 1/3 of the complex for homeless or those affected by homelessness working through a nonprofit. The rent there is $900 or $950. The market will allow $11, $1,150. I just didn't do that. It's not worth it, because what I was trying to do was make a community better for families in need that deserve it, right? It was unstable. There were criminal elements in it. We've washed all that away. We've given them basic finishes back to the standard that what it should be. We've also helped 13 families that were in this program who are now stable, have paying jobs. They're paying on time. If I was to raise the rent right to the 1100, it muddies the entire complex, right? We did all that great work. It's something I'm very proud of, by the way. And, you know, I have many units. This is just a 36 unit building, but I'm so proud of it because of the way that we handled it. It's now for sale. I'm even paying attention to the buyer. I vetted the buyer to make sure that that buyer would continue the good work that's done to make life better for these 36 families. She's native to the area. She wants to continue. I even told her the day we close on it and I'm out as an owner, I'm going to remain so she has continuity for all these folks so she can continue to make their lives better. My point is, we can all win-win without sticking it to the residents who are in those properties. It's just something I refuse to be a part of at all.
Yeah, no, I think that's incredibly compelling. And to your point, if you're doing something like that, it is a win-win for everyone. And you're not forcing people out to go find something else that they can afford just because you have the ability to raise the rent. Helping them turn their life around. Wow, that's admirable. And I think that's something we can all take away and learn. Maurice, I think that's as good of a spot as ever to really wrap up. I can't thank you enough for coming on today. I love the story. I love the experience. And hopefully our audience really takes something away from what they heard from you today. For those that want to learn more about yourself, Quattro Capital, what you guys are doing, what's the best place people can find you and connect with you?
Yeah. So from a business perspective, it's Quattro Capital. So the Quattro Way, Quattroway, thequattroway.com. And you can find me under the partners tab. But again, I said real estate supports life. Real estate is not my life at all. From a life perspective, it's really Instagram, where I talk a lot about what I call freedom principles, financial freedom, time freedom, geographic freedom, freedom of purpose, and freedom of relationships. So the ability to meet someone like you. I really like connecting on Instagram. I'm very active on LinkedIn. It's just Maurice Philogene on Instagram and LinkedIn. And I am proud of the fact that any time anyone has ever reached out, I always have conversations with them. So if anyone wants to talk about any particular topic, I'm here. We are supposed to be creating together, not competing. So reach out and let's see if there's a way we can help each other or just add value.
That's perfect. Maurice, thank you again for coming on. I truly appreciate it. And thanks everyone for listening. We'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.